David, it is good to see you.
Great to be here, and I'm so grateful to share with your community. I'm sure at the same frequency I'm at, giving more and more people to empower others to empower others. So thanks for the opportunity.
All right. So I promised you, well, I didn't promise you. I just told you this when we jumped on the call, but I figured the best way to fit into 20 minutes was I have three questions to ask you today and a
Thank
bonus
you.
question if any time allows. So I wanted to find out first, you've been so active and so successful in the areas of sports and entertainment and business and philanthropy. Like, what's your focus these days? What are you really focused on?
Recently I was named the chairman of the Napoleon Hill Institute. Think and Grow Rich has played a major role in my entire journey, as well as Outwitting the Devil later on, as it was published in 2011, written in 1937, and Sharon Lecter, a dear friend of ours, annotates that as well. But being able to utilize the seminal thought leader, the personal development guru that all the great gurus and thought leaders today have learned and utilized, the mindset, heartset, and handset of Napoleon Hill, has helped me in my mission. And that is the latest and greatest accomplishment, but also responsibility that has been given to me in my journey of empowering over 1 billion people.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that is like the seminal work, right? That is like the founder. That is the, what do they call it? The keystone of
It
all the
is.
bricks in the foundation. That's, I don't know. I'm mixing my metaphors because I don't think foundations have keystones, but yes, I totally agree. Think and Grow Rich is within arm's reach somewhere on that shelf right there.
Yeah, I got a little in
Well,
there.
congratulations. That's quite an honor to be asked to do that.
Yeah, and I've been working on it for years. And one of the relative things that I've been able to do is be chairman, chancellor of Junior Achievement, which utilizes
Yeah, you and
Napoleon
I worked
Hill.
together on that a little
Yeah,
bit.
and so we were blessed to be on that together. I wanted to big a grateful shout out to you to help entrepreneurs 25, 15 to 25 years old, especially around the world. Seventh largest, by the way, NGO in the world. And nominated 3 years straight for a Nobel Peace Prize. So the world is taking notice of entrepreneurship and the importance that entrepreneurs play. And for me, they'll save the world. We need to recycle, we need to have sustainable measures, but that's not going to solve the problem. It's the entrepreneur that turns the plastic into food that solves the problem. But we got to give entrepreneurs time. So continue your sustainable, responsible efforts so that we give these entrepreneurs time to figure out the mistakes that we've made and solve them.
Yeah. And this podcast and my work, for the most part now, is really focused on values work. We have a unique process for helping people discover their values. And I think that focus on young people and supporting young people is one of the values that you and I definitely shared. I've learned that over the years as we've been in touch.
Absolutely. And thank you for everything you've done and the service that you've given and the value that you provide, which is so
Yep,
important to
value and
us.
values. This is
I
the
love it.
value of values. So the second question I wanted to ask you, a big focus of the podcast these days has been around culture. And I've had the chance to be around your organization. I've been to your office in Orange County and just been at events with you and the guys following you around with the camera and everything. And you have created a culture in your organization of like energy and excitement that is, I think, really unique and really impressive. Like how did you do that? Has that always been a priority for you? Has it just come naturally? Or like how do you feel like that happened?
It's so funny that you asked that because it's so aligned with what you teach. And later on, it was found that people today don't work for companies, that they work for cultures. Now, I didn't know that when I was a culture-based leader. I wrote with a friend of ours, Dr. Blaine Bartlett, Compassionate Capitalism, Value-Based Leadership, Servant-Based Leadership. But for me, I structured back at Lee Steinberg. In the early 2000s, so almost 30 years ago, a value-based business. And so I created an internship model that only required the interns to learn four values. I repeated these values and taught these values 3 times a week and still do. I spend a minimum of an hour a day on Monday with my team virtually, which is a big team now, 15 minutes minimum on Wednesday and 2 hours minimum on Friday to teach values. The daily practice of those values, the execution in the realm of business of those values, and the incentives that we prioritize of those values. And those values are very clear and they are simple, but yet I will tell you the simple things to do, as you know, in value-based leadership in life, the simple things to do are simple not to do. And so when I teach gratitude every day, one of the simplest things to do, to find the light, the love, and the lessons, to say thank you. You know, it takes 0.1 seconds to say thank you and it's free and everyone on earth agrees it's so impactful. Then why don't we do it? Why don't we do it more often? Because it's simple. So value number one is gratitude that builds that culture. Value number two is empathy or forgiveness that builds that culture through ease. So if gratitude gives you the perspective, forgiveness gives you ease. It elevates the awareness of the dis-ease and puts us into the infinite inspiration that we belong in an infinite, abundant, unified system that we belong in. The third value is accountability, because this gives us control. It puts our hands on the driver wheel and it says, hey, what did I do to be responsible? What did I do to attract this? What did I do to participate in this perception? And most importantly, in my culture, high energy culture, what are we supposed to learn from it? How are you going to prove, accelerate, aggregate, compound exponentially the outcomes we desire in a devotional behavior or better? And then finally, the culture is based upon the fourth value of effective communication. Not just collaborating and coordinating with the personal and professional relationships that we have, but it's faith. It's communicating effectively with your source, your God, an infinite, abundant God with more than enough of everything for everyone, an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing God that loves us, protects us, and promotes us and perfects us. Even though every day our culture is one that notates that there's no evidence or the evidence will be contrary to where we want to be, we use the wisdom from these values and the faith that is derived to shorten that distance of resistance between us and the divine direction in which we all are coordinated in. And that is the execution of what I've learned from people like you, Robert, and in value-based life and leadership to maintain and to grow and to lean on those values in order to create the culture. And remember, people don't work for companies anymore. They work for cultures.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think I'm going to speak something that people who are listening already know from you just listening to your answer. But I've worked with you on a couple of projects. I've been in your offices. I've been around the people who work as a part of your organization, and they love it. Like, we talk about creating cultures where people love to work. Yours is an incredible example and your explanation of kind of how that happens and how you have not only created it, but keep fueling it. I think people can see that totally makes sense.
And my OG team is still there. Do you know how valuable people are when they're there 15 or 20 years? They started as
they were all so young when they started.
I know. Colleen just had her second baby. She's almost 40.
And
she's the president of my company. And you met her in her early 20s, I remember.
Yeah, down in San Diego. All right. Question numero three. Numero tres. Happiness for a billion people. You've been talking about this. This has been a mission that you've been on for quite a while. And I know part of the answer to this, but I'm wondering if you would just share a little bit about like how. Like that's Tom Peters, a big, hairy, audacious goal? Someone of that generation.
B-Wags, you know, in fact, that was when I got the calling from God, which is something I didn't believe in. And when I got it, it was terrifying enough that I actually experienced the calling. And that was scary enough. But then if I was going to tell people, actually admit that I got this calling, that I'm here to empower over a billion people. I don't want to be limited over a billion people. See, God's not going to give you an invitation if he hasn't taken into consideration your limitations. And so when God gave me that invitation, I said, he knows my limitations, but it's mine. And so I said, how am I going to do this? What is happiness? First of all, if God's telling me you can empower people to be happy, I said, what do I do well? And what do I see in my experience? And I said, I've never met anybody who makes a lot of money for the sake of helping other people and has fun while doing that, this culture that I built, that wasn't happy. And so I said, geez, I've always been good at making a lot of money, for the sake of helping other people. And I've always been someone who can have fun. I've learned to love what most people don't like or love about they love or about what they don't love. It's a great key to marriage. Trust me, if you can learn to love what you don't like or love about what you don't, what you love, I taught my wife how to do it. It saved my marriage. So to me, I was very clear on what happiness was. So my goal was to empower 1,000 people like Robert McPhee, empower you with the ability to make a lot of money for the sake of helping others and having fun while you do, enjoying the consistent every day, enjoying the persistence without quit, enjoying the pursuit of your potential, not what's missing, what we don't have, what other people want, or even worse, what social media makes you think you want, but what you desire. To create discipline in a devotional way with attention and intention of doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing aligned with your divine direction. And so for me, I know my calling, I know my capability, and I know how I'm going to do it. And I'm not afraid to tell people that it's going to work, that I'm going to empower in my journey 1,000 people like you that are going to empower 1,000 to empower 1,000. I'm not great at math, but last time I checked, 1,000 times 1,000 is a million times 1,000 is a billion. I can change the world. And I say that with complete humility, that I can change the world because I know how to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. And I know how to create a culture around that as well and empower others with those capabilities.
Three things to remember. I love it. I love it. And the simple math, like you said, you know, it's my daughter's the PhD in math, but I can follow that math like 1,000 to 1,000 to 1,000. There you go. Boom. All right. So I think I have time for my bonus question.
Yes, please. I'm glad you prepared for.
So my bonus question is, what do you have against people named Richard? I see you've got this new book.
Thank you for asking. Yes, I do. And I'm so excited about it. One of the funnier things, I wrote this book about ditching toxicity in our lives. So it's not about just a person. It's about places, things, ideas, energy, accountability, a variety of different things that I've learned through my journey to shorten the distance of that resistance through wisdom and faith. And I've learned, you know, this is my eighth book. So I've learned, you know, when you write a book called Connected to Goodness or Compassionate Capitalism, it doesn't fly off the shelves at the airport. But I will tell you this, according to my pre-orders, when you write a book with a title, Don't Do Business with Dicks, man, will it sell. And it's a lot of pressure when people are buying off a title. Because you know, people that buy a book called Connected to Goodness, they're going to be aligned with your frequency. Yeah. But man, there's a lot of pressure because we are selling thousands of copies, pre-orders, just off of the title. But I will promise you that the interior of this book holds the same substantial wisdom and faith that all the other books I've written. And I am very proud of this work to help people to clear the interference between them and their potential. Toxicity exists today in so many different realms, and I want to elevate the awareness to how to ditch it from your life, how to shorten that distance of resistance that we're creating through negative energy, through negative thoughts, words, actions, feelings, and beliefs. Very Napoleon Hill of me. But more importantly, please pre-order. Don't Do Business. Go to dmeltzer.com/pre-order. Order it from Simon & Schuster. They'll tell you where to do it. So we get a good shot at being a New York Times bestseller. I will give my other book. If you pre-order this book and you email me, david@dmeltzer.com, I will trust you. Just tell me you ordered it. I will pay for my other books, sign them, send them for free to you. I'll pay for shipping the book, etc. If you pre-order Don't Do Business with Dicks and let me know you did. You don't got to show me a receipt. I live in faith of trust in humanity. I believe you. And so please do that. One quick thing, Robert, is we have a minute. One of my favorite things about this book, when I was writing it, I knew it was a winner because people, when I was writing it, they saw on the laptop, Don't Do Business with Dicks. They're like, I got to buy that. Where'd you get that? I go, no, I'm writing it. Well, tell me when I'm going to buy it. But my favorite thing that happened that I didn't know would happen is so many people from my past are so worried that they're in this book. It's my favorite thing of the whole book. I've had several people call me feeling guilty and resentful or whatever they're feeling. They're like, look, man, if my name's in that book, I'm going to sue you. You know, this is defamation of.
It's not that kind of book.
If you tell people that I effed you over, you know, that you know, just That's not me.
I'm so glad that I didn't think about that at all, because all the work that you and I have ever done together has been on such a high level and so much in that sweet spot of what you were talking about making money and creating success, but doing it in a way that's fun and doing it in a way that really makes a difference and contributes to society and other people. Like, it didn't even occur to me that I might be one of the stories. Also, because I know it's not that kind of book if you're writing it. So
exactly. And you also, right, you can't find outside of you what you can't see inside. And that is not something that's inside of you. You are an extraordinary friend, associate. And I only wish the love and happiness. And I can't wait to see you at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I hope we can make that happen. So for people who are listening to this, whenever they're listening to this, we're recording this just about a week and a half before the Super Bowl. And we're going to try and connect, because David is still so well connected within the sports and entertainment world. And of course, the Super Bowl is the epicenter of all that. I'm so glad I made that the bonus question at the end, because anybody who heard you speak knows that that title is not like who you really are. It's an attention grabber, right? And I hope it works out so well to help.
Title, and I appreciate it. And it took a lot to put that out there with that title, but I'm
deep breath, right?
A book's no good. You can't sell a secret. And I've learned millions of people reading your book of goodness and happiness and abundance can't hurt, even if the title may be a little bit off color. I enjoy it. And please email me, david@dmeltzer.com.
Yeah, thank we'll put so that much. In the show notes. And I can testify. I will be pre-ordering, and I am 100% confident that whatever is between those covers will live up to whatever crazy expectation you have from the title. It will exceed your expectations. So, David, thank you so much. I'm so glad we had the opportunity to do this. I do look forward to hopefully being able to connect with you while you're here in the Bay Area in California for the Super Bowl. And, you know, keep it up. Let's stay in touch. And just really appreciate your contribution.
I appreciate you, and God bless you. Thank you.
Take care, brother. All right. Bye-bye.